Will you please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The letter to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. We begin with verse 5 through verse 11. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of man, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, and death, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We read from verse 8 through verse 10. Hebrews chapter 5, 8 to 10. Though he were son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, became to all them that obey him, author of eternal salvation, addressed by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee for giving us Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for calling us into that glorious table to partake even of our Lord Himself. We do thank Thee for all the mercy and grace, love, that Thou hast so bountifully bestowed upon us. Lord, what can we say? After we have drunk the cup and eaten the bread, Lord, what can we say? We can only bow and worship Thee. Thank Thee for Thy love. Thank Thee for giving us Thy Son. Father, we do thank Thee that we who were rebels, sinners, and yet today in Christ Jesus, we are Thy sons and daughters, Thy very own. It is Thy desire that we shall be conformed to the image of Thy beloved Son, that Thy Son may be the firstborn among many brethren. O Father, what can we say? It's more than we can even dream of. But Thou art doing it by Thy Spirit. So this morning, again, as we gather in Thy presence, we offer ourselves to Thee, because we are Thy workmanship. We cannot do anything, but Thou will do it all. Lord, we want to yield. We want to cooperate. We want Thee to finish Thy work to the praise of Thy glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. we have been sharing together on this very, very important, needed subject on spiritual submission. And I do pray to the Lord that it may not be just a subject to talk about. I do look to the Lord, who alone is able to make what we are considering together a reality in our lives. To me, I feel it is something that the Church of God is very much lacking. And it probably is the biggest reason for all the problems in the church. So I do look to the Lord that by His Spirit, by His enabling, that at least there will be a beginning among His people in this matter of spiritual submission. We mentioned yesterday morning that we are naturally insubordinate, insubmissive, disobedient. In our very nature, that which we have inherited from our father Adam, in our very nature, there is rebellion and self-will. You can see it even in a little baby. It is just in us. And when you talk about submission, obedience, it is foreign to us. It is not in us. We may outwardly, because of environment, try to appear as submissive or even obedient, but we know ourselves, and God knows, that is not real. In human history, you find that since the day of Adam's fall, rebelling is the norm. You remember the story of Nimrod. In Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11, you find that after the flood, men began to multiply, and as they multiplied, instead of multiplied and cover the whole earth, you remember God's word to Adam, multiply and cover the whole earth to subdue all things unto God. And yet instead of covering the whole earth, as men began to multiply, they want to stay together. They refuse to cover the whole earth. They want to be together for one thing, that they may be able to proclaim their own name. And at that time, there was a person whose name was Nimrod. And that very name means rebel. He was a great hunter, a mighty man. And he was the first in human history who tried to unite all the people under him and build an empire. Nimrod was an empire builder. So under his leadership, when they moved to the land of Sinai, they built a city of Babylon. And they also started to build a tower of Babel. They built a tower in order to lift up their name. They want to build it that it may reach the heavens. In other words, instead of obeying God's command to multiply, to cover the earth, to fulfill that work that God has given to man, to subdue all things, that is, to bring everything back to God. That was man's mission. And that was the reason why they were given authority. But unfortunately, you find instead of serving God's purpose, they try to use the power God has given them to build a tower of Babel. It is an open rebellion against the authority of God. And you remember God said, if men are so united, there is nothing they cannot do. So God came down and confused their tongues in order to scatter them all over the earth. In one sense, it is a judgment, a punishment. And even today, we suffer for it. We have to have interpretation, translations. But on the other hand, God used it to scatter men, to cover the old earth. You go down in history, we cannot go in detail, but mention just a few instances. And you find that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and God sent Moses to Egypt to deliver his chosen people out. So Moses faced Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go, that they may serve me. You remember what Pharaoh said? In Exodus, chapter 6, I think, he said, who is Jehovah? I do not know him. Why should I listen to him and let the people go? There is a defiance against God's authority. But very soon, judgment fell upon him. The children of Israel were led out of Egypt. But even you find in the wilderness, how they rebel against God. God was so good to them. God took care of them. Gave them manna, angel's food from heaven. Gave them the water out of the smitten rock that follows them through the wilderness. God provided everything for them. Prepare a table in the wilderness. And yet, in spite of all that God had shown to them. You know, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, and when the spies came back and said it was indeed a good land, but there were giants there. The people were so tall, they looked upon us as grasshoppers. We would be eaten by them. We could not go in. And they rebelled against God. And because of their rebellion, they were not allowed to enter into the promised land. That generation wandered in the wilderness for 38 years until that whole generation passed away. Rebellion. And then when you come to Kings and Chronicles and you find Sennacherib, king of Assyria, how he sent his emissary to blaspheme against the Lord. And the Lord sent an angel and killed the army. And you go on and you find Nebuchadnezzar. Because of his pride, he felt that he was the one who built that wonderful city of Babylon. And punishment fell upon him. Until he realized that heavens do rule over the affairs of man. Now all these shows that rebellion is the very character of mankind. Submission and obedience are totally unknown. You find there is not only rebelling against God's direct authority, but there are many instances of rebelling against God's delegated authority. Now even to our days, You find how the children will rise up against their parents, disobedient to their parents. How the students will rise up against their teachers, the employees against their employer, and the people against their government. You find that rebellion, self-will, is the very nature of human beings, even among the children of Israel, how they rebel against God's delegated authority. For instance, you find Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and 250 of the leaders of the children of Israel, how they rebel against Moses and Aaron and say, "You usurp the authority. All the people of God are holy. Why do you set yourself up above others?" And you remember Moses and Aaron, how they bow and lay their face upon this earth. God came forth to vindicate himself. Even when you come to the New Testament, you find the same thing happened. You find when John the Baptist was sent by God to preach repentance, how the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the ecclesiastical authority, how they sent messengers to John and asked, "Who gave you such authority? Who are you? We are the authority. Now who are you?" And they even question our Lord Jesus. "Who gives you the authority to cleanse the temple? Who are you after all?" So you find the ecclesiastical authority is always against the spiritual authority of God. You find that which is positional is always against that which is of life. Not only that, but you find that even against God's delegated authority. You remember the instance of Paul, how God used Paul to bring into being the church in Corinth. And yet, in Corinth, you find there were people questioning his apostolic authority. So, brothers and sisters, you will find that in human history, rebelling and self-will is the norm, because that is what man is. Obedience, submission is foreign. It's not there. But brothers and sisters, I do not think that we need to use many instances in order to prove how rebellious we are. I think we know ourselves. We do not need to look into history to know that. Just look within yourself. Just recall your own history, very short history, and you can see that obedience is just not there. Now, brothers and sisters, why do we spend such time in telling each other how rebellious we are, how self-willed we are? Now, why do we do that? We all know it. Well, we have to do it, because even though we know it, and yet we do not know it. In other words, we refuse to accept it. We think that we can be obedient. We think that we are submissive. We even think that our rebellion is just occasional. Our self-will is just under the weather. But we are an obedient and submissive people. After we are saved, we have changed. Totally changed. But are you changed? Have you changed? The reason why today we find submission is so rare, obedience is almost unknown in the Church of God, it is because we have a wrong concept. We think we have changed after we believe in the Lord Jesus. Remember, Adam never changes. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. As long as the flesh is in you, rebellion, self-will is always present. You haven't changed. This is the first thing we had to come to accept. Brothers and sisters, if we expect deliverance, if we really expect to be submissive and obedient, then first of all, we have to come to the point to realize, to acknowledge, to confess that there is no submission and obedience in us, that is, in our flesh. Now, have we come to that point? If we haven't come to that point, brothers and sisters, there is no deliverance. We need to ask the Lord to open our eyes, to really see it. You know, it's strange, it's very strange. We know and yet we do not see it. We mention about Job. Job has to gone through such experience in order to come to the place where he can see. And we all need that. We need God to open our eyes, give us a revelation to really see that in us, that is in our flesh, there is no good. No submission, no obedience, nothing. Throughout human history, all you will find upon this earth is rebellion and self-will. Not until one day God sent his only beloved Son into this world to be a man. In the first Adam, in the first man, there is no hope. He cannot be improved, educated, instructed, developed. No hope. So God sent us the second man, even our Lord Jesus. We have mentioned Philippians chapter 2 a number of times. Why? Because this is where our salvation comes. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, our Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, he is equal with God. You know, in the Godhead, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a mystery. Three in one. One in three. We cannot explain it. We believe it because we find it is revealed in the Word of God. Even though the word Trinity is not there, but the fact, the reality is there. The Godhead is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three are equal. The Son is equal with the Father. Equal in everything. Among the Godhead, there is no front, no back. No above, no beneath. No high, no low. they are equal. And the glory of the Godhead, the glory of God is authority. That is the glory of God. Submission, obedience are unthinkable when you think of God. Whom should he submit to? Whom should he obey? He is to be obeyed, to be submitted to. He is the sovereign, the authority of the universe. That's God. So, brothers and sisters, remember, in the Godhead, the glory is authority. Obedience is unknown. It's not necessary. It's not there. Well, I dare not go too deeply into the mystery of the Godhead. But if you will allow me, I will try to throw out a thought. And if it's wrong, forgive me. In the beginning, in the Godhead, there is no concept of submission or obedience. Only authority. I believe we can all accept that. Now I wonder, when does submission come in? To use human words, there was a council among the Godhead in eternity past, before anything was created. There was only God, eternally existent, self-existent. But somehow, you use human word, there must be a kind of council among the Godhead. Now, of course, that council is different. We have to talk to have a council. But God doesn't need that. But somehow, there was a council there. So, there was a council among the Godhead. And the Father loved the Son so much. He wanted to glorify His Son. He wanted to give to His Son, to show His love. You know, love always looks for outlet. The Father loves the Son so much, He wants to give something to His Son, to glorify His Son. He wants to create all things and give all things to His Son, to make His Son the heir of all things. He wants to give man to His Son, to be created in His own image, after His likeness, that man may have fellowship, communion with Him, united with Him in life, in love, in purpose, share His Son's glory and responsibility. Now these are the glorious thoughts of the Father concerning His Son. But being omniscient, He knows the end from the very beginning. He knew that there will be problems. There will not only be problems with the unseen world, angelic beings, but there will be problems with the visible world, even with man to be created. May I say, there was a hesitation. Should we do it? Or should we not? And during that period, the Son stepped forward. He loved His Father so much. He wanted His Father's will to be done. He wants to please His Father. He wants to satisfy His Father's heart. So He stepped forward and said, "Father, if this is what you want, this is what I want. If this is your problem, I'm willing to offer myself as the Lamb, to redeem, to recover, so that your will might be done. There was perfect agreement in the Godhead. Our Lord Jesus is called the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Not before the foundation of the world. You know, sometimes in our chorus, there was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You do not find that in the scripture. It is from the foundation of the world. So, brothers and sisters, the Lamb figure is a figure of submission. So I wonder whether this spirit of submission began at that time. Because it's in the spirit of submission that our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, emptied himself. He who was equal with God, and there was not something to be grasped at. You know, there was one person who tried to grasp it. Lucifer, that archangel. He tried to grasp it. But it was not his. But here you'll find the eternal Son. He was equal with God. Not something to be grasped at, because it was his right. From the very beginning, it was his. He was in the form of God. Now, what is the form of God? The form of God is the manifestation of the fullness of deity. Of the fullness of the glory of deity. That is the form of God. He subsists in the form of God. And yet, he emptied himself. In emptying himself, you see the spirit of submission there. In order to submit himself to the Father's will, he lay aside the glory, the honor, the power, the authority, the position. Of God. He lay all these aside. Of course he cannot empty himself of his deity. That's impossible. Because that's what he is. Eternally is. It never changes. From the beginning, he is God. When he came to become a man, he is still God. After he returned to heaven, he is God. Into eternity to come, he is God. That is what he is. That is his very being. He cannot empty that. But he is able to empty all these glory and honor associated with deity. He emptied all these. He lay aside his omnipotence. He's the Almighty God. And yet, he lay this aside to become a helpless babe. He lay aside his omniscient, knowing everything. He said, I do not know. My Father is the only one who knows. He lays aside his omnipresence. He is everywhere at all times. But he came to become a man. When he was in Judea, he was not in Galilee. He lay aside his glory to be worshipped. Instead, he put himself under. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find our Lord Jesus. He brought the spirit of submission into this world. He took upon himself the form of a bond slave. In other words, instead of in the form of God, manifested the full glory of deity, he took up another form. A form that would manifest the fullness of lowliness. Bond slave. No right of his own. Worse than anybody else. Undone everybody. A bond slave. And being in figure as a man, he becomes a man. He humbled himself. Brothers and sisters, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is authority. When God's authority is manifested, you see glory. What is the glory of man? The glory of man is submission, obedience. Whenever that appears, there is glory. And our Lord Jesus, when he was born as a man, he took upon himself the form of a man. Human flesh, just like we are, but with one difference. In our human flesh, there is sin. Because we inherit that sinful human nature from Adam. But in the human flesh of our Lord Jesus, there is no sin. Because he does not come from Adam. It was the Holy Spirit who overshadowed the womb of the Virgin. So when he was born, he was called the Holy Thing. The Holy Thing. Yes, our Lord Jesus took upon himself a human flesh. Because we are a flesh and blood. Therefore, he partook of flesh and blood in order to be one with us. But remember, in his human flesh, there is no sin. His human flesh is perfect. May I put it another way? Even his self is perfect. If he wants to assert his own self, there is no sin there. But brothers and sisters, you'll find he humbled himself, becoming obedient. You know, obedience is not in God. The Son had to learn obedience from the things which he suffered. He came with a spirit of submission to submit himself willingly, joyfully to his Father. While he was on earth, he took God as his head. In the Godhead, there is no head or body. They are one, equal. No up and down, above and below. They are equal. But in the spirit of submission, he emptied himself. He took upon himself a human flesh. He stood in the place of man before God. The place of man before God is submission. Adam didn't take his place before God. And here, the second man came, he took the place of man, as man ought to be. So you find that in the spirit of submission, he took the place of man. He submitted himself to God, his Father, throughout his life. During those 33 years, there was not a single instance that he wasn't submissive. He said, I cannot do anything by myself. I did it because I saw my Father did it. That's his will. I could not even say anything. I say it because I've heard my Father saying it. It is my Father who speaks within me. Your time is always ready, but my time has not yet come. Every minute of his life is governed by God's will. He was submissive to the uttermost. Absolute submission. Being a perfect man, his will is perfect. His mind is clear. His emotion is pure. If he exercises his own will and wills something for himself, there is nothing wrong there. Always right. If he thinks of anything on his own, it's always clear. If he expresses himself in his emotion, it's pure. No sin will be involved. And yet, even with that sinless, perfect flesh, self, he laid down his flesh. He laid down his self. Not my will, but thy will be done. You know, his will is perfect. But he laid down his will. You know, oftentimes we think, well, if what I will is good, that should be all right. You don't need to lay down your good will. You lay down your bad will. But here you'll find our Lord Jesus laid down his perfect will. Not my will, but thy will be done. How his emotion completely yielded, subordinated under God. Even with his mother whom he loved so much and cared so much. When his mother wanted him to do something on his own, he said, little woman, what have I to do with you? Throughout his life, he walked the way of the cross. He suffered. Brothers and sisters, we cannot imagine the sufferings of our Lord as a man. You know, we are dull. We are not sensitive. We are not pure. And because that's what we are, we do not suffer as much as our Lord Jesus. There are many things that we do not even are aware of. You know, people can go into the temple day after day, year after year, and saw all these people selling and buying in the temple area. And everybody said, well, that's what it ought to be. It is for convenience sake. It is for expedience sake. Nobody feel hurt. But our Lord was hurt. Deeply hurt. Because he was pure. He was the perfect man. Brothers and sisters, I cannot imagine how much he suffered. He suffered from the world, misunderstanding. He suffered from his own disciples. They could not understand him. He tried to help them throughout the years, and at the very last, they still do not understand. What sufferings! But from the things which he suffered, he learned one thing: obedience. The spirit of submission becomes the action of obedience through the cross, through suffering. Becoming obedient. That was not what he was before. He was authority. He had to learn it. Learn it in the way of suffering. Our dear brother Nee says, becoming obedient is seeking every opportunity to submit and to obey. It is not just when in the right environment, then you submit and obey. At all times, you look for submission. You look for obedience. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus was sent by God to this world to re-establish authority, God's authority on this earth. He was sent by God to this earth to recover the authority of God on earth, to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Oh, but brothers and sisters, when he was on earth, he never claimed to be authority. He does not try to establish his authority. He came to demonstrate submission and obedience. He seeks every opportunity to submit and to obey. That is the life of our Lord Jesus. He came out from heaven, from the Godhead, as it were. But he refused to return to the Godhead in his deity. Once he came out, he will never return to the Godhead in his deity alone. He will return in the way of submission and obedience. That's the way he returned to his Father. No wonder the Father highly exalted him and giving him a name that is above every name. And to that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is our Lord Jesus who brought into this world submission and obedience. For the first time in human history, you begin to see what submission and obedience really are in God's thought. But, thank God, he learned obedience not just for himself. In Hebrews chapter 5, we are told, though he were son, yet he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And being perfected, oh, he is perfected. Perfect in submission and obedience. That's the kind of submission and obedience that God is looking for in man from the very beginning. And being perfected, he has become, to all those who obey him, the author of eternal salvation. Being addressed by God as the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Oh, brothers and sisters, we mentioned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it says that in the Adam all died. What a tragedy. We became all rebellious and self-willed people. We cannot help it. But in Christ, we have all been made alive. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that when you believe in the Lord Jesus, something has happened in you, something far, far greater than to have your sins forgiven. It is great, but it's greater. It's greater than to be guaranteed to heaven. Brothers and sisters, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, do you see that you receive a life? A new life. Now, what is that life? We call it eternal life. By eternal life, we think, well, it just continues on endlessly, as our brother already mentioned. That's true. But eternal life is a different kind of life. There's a quality of life there. Are you satisfied with your quality of life today? Are you willing to have this kind of life continue forever? Well, when you are young, you want to live. But when you get older, you become tired to live. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, he gives us his own life. Brothers and sisters, what is that life? We always think of that life, well, that's the life of God. Yes. It is God's uncreated life that is given to us with all the potentials there. But remember, that life has come into this earth, has lived for 33 years. Have learned obedience. In other words, the life that we receive from our Lord Jesus, the life in you and in me, this new life is none other than our Lord Jesus himself. In that life there is submission. In that life there is obedience. You cannot find submission and obedience anywhere else. It is all in a life, and that life has been given to us. Oh, brothers and sisters, what love. Praise God, we are by nature submissive. Do you know that? What was not there before is now present. What was impossible before is now possible. According to that new life, we cannot but be submissive. We cannot but obey. We cannot rebel. We cannot exert our self-will. It's not there. It's not there. Unfortunately, we do not know what we have got. Unfortunately, we still live on that old life. That should be discarded long ago. We do not know how to live by this new life in us. Brothers and sisters, when we submit, we feel happy. Isn't that true? When we rebel, we feel sad. Why? It is because you have a new life now. And that life is submissive. Why do you not live a joyful life? Why must you live such a poor life? By being rebellious? That's the difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. To an unbeliever, rebellion is natural, easy, happy, joyful. But to a Christian, rebellion is unnatural, painful, hurting. Unless you repent, you cannot get over. You're grieved. The very life that is in us is a submissive, obedient life. Brothers and sisters, why not live by that life? It's yours. Let me try another angle. You know, God has never withdrawn his authority from the universe. Do you know that? There was rebellion, yes. Rebellion everywhere, every day. But does that mean that God has withdrawn his authority from the universe? He hasn't. Not only he hasn't withdrawn his authority from the universe, but he is going to establish his authority upon this earth among men. He is working to recover his kingdom on this earth. That's what God is doing. That's the reason why he sent his Son into this world. Our Lord Jesus came into this world to re-establish God's authority. And the way he establishes is by submission and obedience. In this rebellious world, you find not only one man, our Lord Jesus. He is the kingdom of God. God's authority is re-established in his life. And he is the obedient one. Brothers and sisters, now, through the redemption of our Lord Jesus, he has gotten a people. Now, who are we? We are the redeemed of the Lord. And as the redeemed of the Lord, as the church of God, do you know that it is in the church of God that God is to reestablish his authority and obedience? And then through the obedience of the church to the authority of God, God is to recover the whole earth. So what is the church? Brother Spock said, subjection is the principle of the house. in the building of his temple. Submission is a divine law. It is the appointed way of the redeemed ones. It is the way to the throne. He also said, God models the church on the principle of subjection. Everyone in the house of God must learn to submit, to be in subjection. The whole church needs to be in subjection to the authority of the Holy Spirit. We all need to learn submission, obedience to God. Even those who are given authority, they need to learn subjection to the authority of God. Put it in another way. The first thing you come into the church to learn is submission. Do not come to the house of God and ask, over whom do I have authority? But come to the house of God and ask, whom should I submit to? Take the body as an illustration. The head is the authority. Christ is the head. He is the authority. The whole body has to subject itself to the head. Only when the body is in subjection to the head, the body can function. So what is the glory of the body? The glory of the body is submission and obedience. That's what the body is. Now we are members of one another. As members of one another, what is the first thing we have to think about? What is the first law that governs the body? The first law that governs the body is not authority. Is obedience. The body has to obey the head. And only by holding fast the head, then the whole body will be connected together and minister one to another and increase with the increase of God. So, in the body, the first question is never authority. Remember that. In the body, the first question is submission. Obedience. That's the first question. All the members of the body are in subjection to the head. Everyone has to hold fast the head, Christ. And then you'll find all the members of the body submit to one another. Now it's true that every member of the body is delegated, is given a certain measure of authority. Now that's true. The head does delegate, give authority to the body. And does that delegate authority to every member of the body? There is a measure of authority in every member of the body. So that's the reason why you say submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Well, you say, why should I submit to this brother or that sister? We are equal. Well, in one sense we are. We are members, one of another. But in another sense, you find that in each member there is a measure of authority there. Put in by the head. Well, to put it better, in each member there is a measure of Christ there. Where Christ is, there is authority. You know, authority is not you or me. Authority is God, is Christ. It's that life. In that life, there is a measure of authority there. So, brothers and sisters, why is it we need to submit to one another? Sometimes we say, well, the sisters should submit to the brothers. Well, the brothers need to submit to the sisters too. In the fear of Christ. Not because you are a brother, not because you are a sister, not because of anything else. It is because there is Christ in you. And when Christ is expressed in you, I have to submit. Even you are the littlest member of the body of Christ. Even if you are just saved an hour ago, if Christ is manifested in you, we have to obey. We obey Christ. We do not obey man. In the fear of Christ. Now the word fear is not the fear of being punished. It is a holy fear. You know, when you really love a person, there's a fear there. You're afraid you may not please him or please her. You want to do everything to please him. And that's fear. And we want to do everything to please Christ. Brothers and sisters, when we see Christ in a brother and a sister, we want to please that Christ there. We are not man-pleasers. We want to please Christ. And in order to please Christ, it is to submit. So in the house of God, brothers and sisters, submission should be the character of God's house. Unfortunately, today you find in the church there is struggling, fighting for power. For authority, for position. That is not what the church is. The character of the church is submission, is obedience. When you come to the house of God, you find the beauty of submission there. Submit to one another in the fear of Christ. And out of this submission, the divine order in the house is established. You know, it is on the basis of submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, then it follows with 22 and onward. Wives, submit to your husband. Husband, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, do not offend your children. Servants, obey your master, and master, do not ill-treat your husband, your servants. In other words, all the other submission and obedience come out from this one. If we do not know how to submit to one another in the fear of Christ, brothers and sisters, there will be no authority and submission in your family. There will be no authority and submission in the place where you work, in society, in the world. There will be none. So, brothers and sisters, what should we do? Are you willing to lay aside your quest for authority? Are you willing to take up the Spirit of the Lamb, the Spirit of Christ? It is there. It's a matter of whether you are willing. Whether you are willing to let that life live. You have stifled that life. That life has suffered. Are you willing to release it? Are you willing to take a stand? I want to live by the life of Christ in me. That is, I want to exhibit the Spirit of submission. I want to have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. The only thing is, are you willing? I do hope there will be a change of atmosphere in the church. Brothers and sisters, I can weep. When I see how God's people fighting for power, for authority, for position. That's not what the church is. Where can you see in the church the spirit of submission? That readiness to obey. Where can you see Christ? Now it is true. For that spirit of submission to be translated into acts of obedience, you have to suffer. Our Lord Jesus came with a spirit of submission. And in that spirit, he is able to learn obedience. Brothers and sisters, if you do not have the spirit of submission, you will never learn obedience. Never. But if you have the spirit of submission, then you will begin to learn how to obey. But when you begin to learn how to obey, you will suffer. Because the flesh in you is not willing. Your flesh will suffer. You know, Christian experience is a paradox. If you follow the flesh is happy. But the spirit is sad. But if you follow the spirit is happy, but your flesh is groaning. It is only when we are willing to be yoked with Christ. You know, to be yoked with Christ is an act of will. You are willing to be yoked with Christ. You have the spirit of submission to be under yoke. The yoke is heavy, in a sense, upon your neck. So you lose your freedom. But unless you are willing to put your yoke under that yoke of Christ, to be equally yoked with Christ, in the spirit of submission, then, brothers and sisters, you begin to learn from Christ how lowly and meek He is. Whenever you want to go your own way, whenever your flesh wants to raise its head, wherever your self-will wants to exert itself, the Holy Spirit will remind you that prick will gently touch you understand. Only by the way of the cross can submission be turned into obedience. This is the way that our Lord has gone through. And this is the way He has opened for us. Thank God. If we do not have His life in us, we cannot walk this way. But with His life in us, He's going through with us. Or to put it another way, He's carrying us through. Oh, brothers and sisters, my prayer is there will be change of spirit among God's people. That we will see more of the spirit of submission and the actions of obedience. You know, if you cannot find this in the church, where else can you find it? If the Lord is not able to bring us to that place, how is He going to establish His authority in the universe? And only when you really enter into the spirit of submission, you begin to appreciate God's delegated authority. You know why you do not appreciate God's delegated authority in the church? It is because the spirit of submission is not there. If the spirit of submission is in you, brothers and sisters, you will appreciate those brothers and sisters whom the Lord has put above you, as it were, to take care of you. How they labor for your soul. You appreciate them. What a difference it would be. Today you find in the church everywhere, brothers and sisters rebel against delegated authority. But oh, once you see and you come into a spirit of submission, you thank God for those brothers and sisters to whom God has given authority to serve you, to care for you. What a difference you would make. I know. Only the Spirit of God is able to bring us there. Let us go to Him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee. Thou hast got the man. We thank Thee that Thy beloved Son is willing to submit Himself to Thee and to learn obedience from the things which He suffered, that He might become the author of our eternal salvation. Oh, teach us how to obey Him. Thou art our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Support us with our life, that we may be able to really enter into submission and obedience, that Thy authority may be established in this universe. Glory to God.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.